Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima.
Bronze play-by-play broadcaster, also WKYC Channel 3. Jim, good morning, my friend. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, guys. Good to be with you.
First off, what do you make of the Big Ten possibly ending college football for the fall?
Well, I tell you, it seems as though it's really disappointing, but it seems as though it's going to be very, very difficult, just a mammoth task to try and get it to a point where they could play and they could play safely. And there were so many provisions, I think, even if they are going to have a season, that would make it so very, very different. But, I mean, it would be a huge void, and it will be a huge void if it happens in our existence through the fall all the way up, you know, through December into early January. And the tradition of it is so important. And, I mean, it is religion to a lot of people, whether it's in the Big Ten or the SEC or anywhere around the country. It's just a, you know, the thing was, Ken, that we just kept hoping that this thing would settle down, if not maybe get a medical answer on it, or at least a treatment plan that could take care of it and arrest the situation. And I think we just kept moving the goalposts back and saying, well, football's got plenty of time. It's not here yet. Too bad about March Madness. Too bad about the spring season, you know, and the delays in Major League Baseball and the NBA and the NHL having to go to these restarts. But football should be okay. And yet that window of opportunity kept getting smaller and smaller. And, you know, months went down to weeks, down to days. And I just think it will be a huge loss to everybody if that's the way it's going to go. And whether or not it can go to the spring and be successful there, I still think there's a lot of work to that, too. So it's a very sad day. It was a very sad day on Saturday when the Mid-American Conference announced that they were not going to have any fall sports, and football was obviously going to go by the wayside.
Jim, obviously the MAC is very near and dear to our heart. This stinks. I mean, to the level, or to think about that, me and Ken sitting there at a bar getting ready for the MAC tournament, and we're all the way here in August, and no football. Were you buying what the commissioner said on our show earlier, that this was about health and not money?
Well, yeah, I do think that the biggest factor is health. But when all of a sudden these Power Five conferences, Anthony, started saying, listen, we're only going to play conference schedules, you knew that it really crippled a conference like the Mid-American Conference. I mean, Kent State was scheduled to play Kentucky, Alabama, Penn State. Akron had a big game. Bowling Green had a game down at Ohio State. And there were other teams in the conference that in those early weeks, those are their paydays, and I just thought that those were crippling to the Mid-American Conference, at least not to the whole college football landscape. But I really thought it was going to be difficult for those individual programs and for the conference as a whole to be able to survive these kind of losses, having already lost the Mid-American Conference basketball tournaments and also, you know, whoever would get into the NCAA tournaments and the payments there. So I really worry about, you know, the long-lasting effect that this will have on these programs like Kent State, just to take those two, Kent State and Akron, who really don't get big attendance at games, who I just think it would be hard for them to survive just playing a Mid-American Conference schedule financially because they rely on those big paydays. I mean, they go, they lose those games, but they get a huge payday that really, you know, leaves them in better shape once they get back home on campus and what they can cash that check and put it into the coffers for their programs, not just football, but probably the entire athletic program.
Jim, there is one little silver lining if they don't play college football this year. That's Notre Dame doesn't have to fully join those peasants in the ACC. At least they don't have that. Could you ever see them? Could you ever really see them? Because that's such a massive deal with NBC. I don't blame them for staying independent. Could you ever see them really joining a conference in football?
Well, I think that they are definitely, you know, it would take something, well, it would take something like this, obviously, what's going on right now. But if everything got back to normal and if the world got back into a regular state of life, I think Notre Dame thoroughly enjoys their situation. The other thing is that NBC loves having them. Mm-hmm. You know, that deal started out as a very unique deal that people went, wow, that is really something. But then Notre Dame wasn't winning national championships every year, and in a lot of years they weren't even contending for national championships. But it was the fact that NBC was able to not only dip their toe into the college football television pool, but also to get a real story program like that. So I think if everything settles down, at some point we get back to some sense of normalcy, they go back to their independence and they put their arms around it and they hug it because they don't have to share it with anybody. And it's not like NBC is saying, you know what, we're kind of tired of this deal. We think we want to put professional lacrosse on every Saturday rather than Notre Dame football. I don't think that's going to happen. And so I think Notre Dame, you know, sits in their own little chair and they don't have to divvy up that check, that television money with anybody.
I mean, for 15 straight years, I've been told lacrosse is the fastest growing sport in the world. And eventually, I think the spread has slowed down.
Jim Brown would agree with you on that.
Jim Donovan joining us on the hotline. We'll get to Browns in just a second, but one last note. It was Friday, OHSAA. They made their announcement, and Jim, you've covered high school football for years. It's one of the most fun things that that we get a chance to do. It's no high school football, but they said there will be. Do you think that is still going to hold?
See, I think everything, it's just like the Big Ten, Anthony. It's just like when they came out with the schedule last week, Kevin Warren, the new commissioner, said, hey, listen, this does not mean that we are going to have a Big Ten college football season. It's just that logistically we had to put a schedule out. We had to have some kind of a roadmap if we can make this thing work. And I think the same, I fear, is going to be true for high school football. If the college football season can't be played, I think it's going to be difficult for the high school football season to be played, even on a six-game season and everybody making the playoffs. That sounded good, but I think it's just to have some kind of plan in place that if there was some miraculous turnaround here and everybody found a way that we could be safe and our kids could be safe, I just would find it difficult that if everything else is shut down, as far as, you know, collegiate sports and things like that, I find it very difficult to think that they would be able to consistently go out there on Friday nights and play. And my heart would ache for those people, too. I mean, like you said, I mean, we all kind of grew up having a lot of fun covering high school football around Northeast Ohio and around the state of Ohio. And that would be, you know, that would go in line with what's going on. I mean, you just go down every day, every week, the things on the list that keep getting canceled that are historically, you know, embedded into our minds at certain parts of the year, and those are being, you know, wiped off the calendar because of this coronavirus.
All right, well, let's get to the Cleveland Browns. We're 30 days away from the first NFL game of the season, and all of our questions surrounding the Browns seem to be not about their talent, but seem to be about how they are going to overcome the adversity of this wacky offseason. Don't you get good vibes, though, when you're around Kevin Stefanski and when you hear him talk?
Absolutely. No doubt about it. And I think that when he said the other day during his meeting with the his Zoom meeting with the media, when he said, hey, listen, we have a lot of smart people in the building. And I think he is. I think he's right about that. And I think number two is he's probably right up at the top of the list. I mean, they do have a lot of smart people in the building. But let's face it, guys, there's going to be a point in time where it's just really going to come down to football. And how things go. And the Herculean task that he has and they have as an organization to try and put this thing together, and the first time basically they go out in the field in a game situation, it would be presumably in Baltimore on September 13th against the team that is favored, you know, to be up there in the AFC, if not the Super Bowl, as far as a contending situation. And that's going to be very, very difficult considering that the short window of time that they're going to be able to put this thing together. I mean, you know, the football activities and being able to get it on the field, new coach, new coaching staff, new systems, and incorporating new players into it. I mean, that would be difficult. It's going to be difficult for any team. But for a team in the situation like the Browns, I think it's going to be just an amazing task to be able to get out there, get lined up, and have some sort of semblance of order on the field. Now, I don't put it by him and them that they'll be able to do it. But I think that there has to be wiggle room in our expectations of how they're going to look at the outset of things. I think this is something that is going to have to be grown into, that week by week, hopefully, they'll get better. Now, normally we'd say week by week during the preseason, we could see some improvement. But when we see it, we're going to be seeing it in games that actually count.
I want to present an argument to you and let you be the judge. Yeah. A couple of weeks ago, Lima and I had an argument whether who was the most important Cleveland Brown. I said it was Miles because I thought if Baker is able to take advantage of the controls that are given to him and the weapons that are given to him, he'll be just fine. But that defense was terrible after Miles was suspended last year, that they definitely need him getting ready for this season. I think Miles is actually the more important Cleveland Brown on this team. Tell me why I'm wrong.
Well, I mean, I think the quarterback position is obviously, whether it's in Cleveland or anywhere else, it is of mammoth importance to any team. I think that, and some teams actually can overcome a bad defense. They can overcome it with offense. Now, maybe they can't go all the way and be, you know, a championship team without a great defense. But I think certainly in today's NFL, and the way that people go up and down the field and score points and how the rules are kind of shaped to have exciting, explosive offenses out on the field, I think the quarterback position will always be a very, very important position. Now, for Baker Mayfield, it's obviously a big year for a lot of reasons. Hopefully a bounce-back year. Hopefully a prove-it year to the organization that he is worth, you know, a big contract and a long-term type deal that makes him the quarterback here for now and for a long time. But I get what you're saying. I think that in a really strange way, Myles Garrett, by being suspended and not playing, showed the team what it was like to not have him on the field. And they were incapable in those final 6 weeks of the season of playing any kind of defense. I mean, they could not come up with stops. They had no pass rush. And it didn't matter who the quarterback was, whether it was Lamar Jackson or Duck Hodges. I mean, they just could not stop anybody. And most of the reason was because he was not on the field. The inability to be able to play any kind of defense with him not being there kind of puts a big spotlight on him and saying he is that important. And obviously they felt that way, too, to pay him the way they did. But I would still have to say that the quarterback position, if he doesn't play that well, I don't think they have any chance of playing well overall in a season.
I never really asked you, and I should have asked you, what are reasonable expectations for this year for this team?
Well, in a normal year, I mean, I think we have to water it down a little bit and maybe lower the bar as far as expectations are concerned, because I do believe it's going to be a huge task to be able to get the team up and running, and it's going to be ready, set, let's go at the start of the season. I mean, I thought that they were capable of 8-9 wins going into the year. And I don't know. I'm interested to see how – I mean, we really don't know a great deal about Kevin Stefanski on the sideline during a game. How does he control the game? You know, what's the lead-up as far as what are they going to do week to week? And, you know, I don't know what kind of practices he runs, things like that. So, I don't know what the expectation is now, but I thought going into it, if none of this happened, I thought that they were an 8-9-win season. 9-win football team, and who knows? I mean, if everything turned around, maybe they could be even a little bit more than that. But I thought that was the comfort level, 8-9 wins before coronavirus really shut them down and everybody else in the NFL.
Jim, are we making too much of the body weight thing when it comes to Baker Mayfield? We did it last year when we thought he was a little bit bigger, and now it seems like he's in great shape coming in.
Well, I think that I worried more about the mechanic issue, the mechanics and the problems he had by the end of the year. I mean, he was all over the place, you know, footwork and things like that. I'm really not worried about the leadership factor, and I think he had a lot of things going on in his life at this time last year. I mean, he was getting married and things like that. He was in every commercial going. I think this has been a much more focused offseason, probably for a harsh way, because he wasn't the brightest, you know, light on the marquee this year coming into the season. Unlike last year, where everybody was so fascinated and excited about him, and everybody wanted a piece of him. I think he's just really had to concentrate on the football part. So, I mean, physically, I think he needed to probably be in better shape. But I think mechanically, and I think the fact that it sounds like he's really being coached, and I thought that at times that was missing last year. I thought there was a little bit too much, hey, we owe you because we got jobs because you like us. I thought that was too much of a factor there, and he had only played the one season, and albeit not a full season because he didn't start at the beginning of his rookie year. I just thought too many people on that staff last year owed the fact that he kind of liked them, and that's why they were able to stay around and hold on to their jobs when the Browns were deciding what they were going to do with their coaching situation. I don't think that's the situation this year. I think, number one, he realizes he needs help. Number two, they want to make him better. And number three is that I think if he's better, you know, with his mechanics, I think that he'll be a better quarterback automatically. Automatically, he'll be better. I just think at the end of the year, he was trying to survive out there in front of an offensive line that I don't think he was really ever truly comfortable playing behind all season long, including in the summer at this time last year when we would be out at those training camp practices. I think we were all a little bit fooled in saying, boy, I got to tell you, that Browns front four defensively is really tough. Baker and the offense, they're struggling, but it's because the front four is so great. I think it might have been a little bit of that, but I think it was a lot that, boy, that offensive line is really struggling. And it was a problem, and it was a problem right from the third preseason game last year in Tampa, and it continued all throughout the season. I don't think he was ever comfortable in that pocket last year.
Jim Donovan with us on the show, play-by-play voice of your Cleveland Browns. Dick Goddard was the statistician on the radio broadcast for 43 years with the Browns. That means that you two shared a booth together. What was working with Dick like?
Oh, it was absolutely great. It really was. He was with me doing the stats for 12 years, and then he decided to retire at some point a few years ago and decided to give it up. He was really great. He was an amazing guy because he was always in a great mood, number one. And he loved the Browns. He really loved the Browns. That's why I think he initially got into the whole thing, just to be a part of it. But when he would come down to the stadium, Ken, he was not the Fox 8 meteorologist. I mean, he was, but in his mind, he was the statistician for the radio network on those days. He was unbelievably serious about it. He was a perfectionist. If at halftime they would bring the official stat in and there was a difference between what his stat board said and theirs said, and it might only be a yard difference, I mean, he would pour through his notes to see what the discrepancy was. And he was probably the guy that was right more than the official stats. He was that good at it. He was egoless in the booth. And yet, in the early years, in 1999, when it was just an awful product out on the field because it was such a bare bones expansion team, there would be so many times where people would be looking out on the field and say, no, I don't want to watch this. And yet they would turn around to the radio booth and they would see him, and he would be a huge attraction. But he didn't seek that at all on those Sundays. He just wanted to be the statistician for the Browns and for the radio network and to do a great job for you. And he really did. He was exceptional at it. He had a great system. And the neat thing about him was that, and you guys, I mean, have been up in the booth, there's a real rhythm that goes on up in the broadcast booth. And when it's working right, it's really in sync. And part of that, and a big part of that rhythm, is the play-by-play guy being able to work with the statistician, because the numbers are so important and you want them to be fast and you want them to be correct. And he was perfect at that.
Jim, can't thank you enough for the time. We really, really appreciate it. I got to ask you about the jerseys next time we get a chance to talk to you.
Oh, thank you. I've canceled all my eye appointments with the new numbers coming in and being so readable right now. That uniform change the last time around was awful. It really was. It kept me up at night.
I swear to God, I'd be nudging Gibbs. I go, how the hell does he see it? I can't see the numbers. I couldn't see it. Jim, I can't thank you enough for the time, buddy. All the very best to you and yours.
Hey, thanks, guys. Always great talking to you.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Jim Donovan joining us on the show on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We'll be right back after these messages.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.